This is Jay Sekulow. Today's broadcast, Defending Israel Around the Globe.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. You know, earlier in the week, we were dealing with the political stuff because you had to deal with it. It was a big primary in New Hampshire. But we then started focusing on our work in defense of Israel because we've really upped it a lot in the last, really since October 7th, we've had to. And I want to give you a brief overview of what happened. So after the attack, we were contacted by Kalev Myers, a well-known lawyer with a very well-known firm, Yehuda Rivet, one of the most prestigious law firms in the state of Israel. And they're politically connected. Very good lawyers. We've worked with them for years. He said, we need help. We got to get these hostages back. We need to do everything we can. We need help in the United States. We need help in Europe. And we're uniquely positioned, more uniquely positioned than anybody else, I think, in the world. God has positioned us very uniquely. Not that other people aren't doing great work. They are. And and by the way, when I say we were uniquely positioned, I'm talking about having the relationship with Kalev. I will tell you that in England, for instance, where we had an unbelievable series of meetings with our European Center staff and Kalev's team from Israel and the Prime Minister of Israel. You're going to hear that video in the next segment of the broadcast. Let me tell you something. It's not just the ACLJ, ECLJ, but it's also the relationships we built for 40 years for such a time as this. Because this is the greatest attack on the Jewish state that we've ever seen. And we've now undertaken a huge educational enterprise, Logan.
That's right. You can go right now to aclj.org/defendisrael. Do that today. Take a look at it. Look at the great content we're providing you, whether that's the written content or the video content. You can also find out how you can get engaged and become an ACLJ champion.
The other thing you need to understand is that we take this personally, and you have to. And we're representing these families. And I'm going to let Cece talk about this for a moment because, folks, it's very emotional when you're dealing with the moms and the dads and the brothers and the sisters. And some of our clients, four of them got out. Several of them are dead. One of them was killed after they escaped by mistake, by friendly fire. You remember that back in December. It happens. It's horrible. So the emotional toll on this is real. But we are doing everything we can to help these families.
Yeah, the hostage families, the one thing that we see over and over again when we have these situations is, you know, people that are trapped, whether it be in jail or here now trapped by Hamas, they don't want us to forget. That's the biggest concern, is please don't let anybody forget about me. And so we are doing that. And we are doing a great job. We had, like you said, we have gone to DC and had meetings there. We've gone to Europe and we've had meetings there. We're
in Spain right now.
Yes, in Spain. And so we are keeping them at the forefront, which is what is needed. And like you said, the Prime Minister in the UK, he made a great statement.
He sure did. Harry, you know, the anti-Semitism is at the highest I've ever seen in our lifetime. Other than, you know, the Nazi era, this has been the most.
Absolutely. So the ACLJ has engaged in a strong and vigorous campaign in defense of the nation state of Israel after Hamas broke the ceasefire and launched a series of horrific and barbaric attacks. Simultaneously, however, pro-Hamas forces located on campuses throughout the United States and throughout the world, they have launched a lawfare campaign and a public relations campaign claiming that Israel has been engaged in genocide since 1948. And many of these forces essentially are anti-Semitic from the get-go, and they are tied, at least ideologically, to what went on during World War II under yep. Adolf Hitler.
You're right.
And so this has spread like wildfire throughout leading universities at Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, at MIT. And the administrators at these universities, they have been unwilling to confront the hostile if you will, public relations campaign. They've basically encouraged it.
Yeah, we're going to get into more of that in the next segment of the broadcast.
ACLJ.org/defendisrael. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. As I told you, our European Center for Law and Justice colleagues, along with our colleague Caleb Myers and hostage families, are actually in Madrid today. They were in the UK, and they had a meeting with the foreign minister, the prime minister, the home security minister, and a number of other parliamentarian leaders. The prime minister of the UK came out with a very strong statement after meeting with these hostage families. I want to play that for you. You don't hear this every day. Take a listen.
Those people who ripped down posters of hostages reveal themselves to have no humanity. Those who chant from the river to the sea are either useful idiots who do not understand what they are saying, or worse, people who wish to wipe the Jewish state from the map. We will have zero tolerance for those who promote or glorify terrorism or peddle anti-Semitism on our streets.
This is why you have your European Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ teams, and our colleagues. Our friend Colin Bloom, who has a tremendous organization in London, arranged a lot. We've worked with him for decades. So I do think that the fact that we've been doing this for over 40 years, Logan, and we're using these relationships we've had. I remember when I first had breakfast with Colin. It was he happened to be in Scotland. We happened to be in Scotland. We happened to be at the same hotel. It was Glen Eagles. Great facility. A lot of great for meetings and international conferences. He was there on something else. We had breakfast and immediately had a relationship. And then that was probably 20 years ago. And now, you know, 20 years later, he's setting up meetings for us and for the team with the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Yeah, you have those kind of messages coming out, messages you wish were coming out of America at this point.
Boy,
you wish you were hearing those kind of words. I mean, obviously, President Biden has been fairly strong in his language, but he's backed off in recent months. That sounds a little bit more like he did maybe up front, the very beginning. But you know, politics is getting to him, specifically heading into this campaign. It is nice to hear, and hopefully those aren't empty words.
The empty word, look, he said, I assume he means them. He's got a difficult situation, though, Harry, because he's got a large Arab population in England.
Absolutely. And if you look, for instance, at the city of London, approximately 40 to 50% of the residents of the city of London are either Islamic or Islamic sympathizers. And so there are huge problems in England, but I will applaud the Prime Minister of England for stepping up not only his rhetoric, but I also believe that this will lead to a step up in action, to a crackdown on the vitriol that is coming from the pro-Hamas citizenry in Britain, and hopefully the nation state of Britain will increase its pro-Israel actions. This is very, very imperative to have a worldwide movement that counteracts the narrative that is coming from countries such as South Africa and elsewhere that are claiming that Israel is basically a nation state grounded in genocide. That is nonsense on steroids.
I wanted to, you mentioned the South Africa situation, so I want to go right to, in the middle of all this, in addition to hosting these hostage families, setting up these strategic meetings, we did legal work because South Africa filed a complaint with the International Court of Justice and at The Hague, and they immediately set it for a hearing. So we had no time. I mean, literally, and this is in the middle of us, by the way, doing Supreme Court briefs. So, but we put a team together, and we were able to deliver our brief to 50 nations, in addition to the UN leadership, pointing out how outrageous this claim was.
Yeah, and we do that routinely because the UN and international tribunals are typically anti-Israel. And so we, every chance we get, we make sure that we draft briefs and provide information that is the truth, that is backed by facts and the law. And we did that here when South Africa filed this application with the International Court of Justice. We were able to compile a very well-written, well-drafted brief showing the ridiculousness of those claims. And like you said, we sent it to the UN Secretary General. We sent it to all the key players, all the key player member states in that case.
Do we have the one-minute trailer version of our video? I want to show that in a moment. because we put together, our team did, Logan, put together a tremendous multimedia package here.
Yeah.
Because we've got to educate people on this, because a lot of people don't know, and people do think there's a Palestinian state when there's not.
Yeah, I think you need to learn all you can about it. We made it pretty easy to understand, really broken down as easy as it can be, while still giving you a heavy amount of facts, a heavy amount of data, because that's important too, not to just have a very baseline. This is a 7-minute piece that really gives you a broad understanding while getting you in the granular details over thousands of years.
Yeah. We've already had thousands of views of this.
Yes.
I want to play the 1-minute trailer, and we're going to ask you to share the actual document, the link to this landing page, this webpage, with your friends. But first, here's the trailer.
Free, free!
Palestine!
1, 2, 3, 4!
Occupation no more!
1, 2, 3, 4!
Occupation no more! Israel is a
Palestine! The myth of Palestine is a dangerous and false narrative being perpetuated by those who seek to harm the Jewish people. This narrative intentionally overlooks the thousands of years of history and the rightful ownership of the land by the Jewish people. It ignores the repeated attempts by Israel to make peace and the ongoing attacks and aggression from terrorist organizations like Hamas. We must not be deceived by this attempt to erase the Jewish people from their homeland. Learn more at aclj.org/defendIsrael.
Folks, this is a major campaign that we've launched to defend Israel, because you got to defend both in the courtrooms, which we are at the IJC, at the ICJ, but I got to tell you something else. You got to defend this in the court of public opinion, because, Harry, you said this in the first segment of the broadcast. What's going on college campuses around the world, but right here in the United States, is atrocious. I mean, you saw that in the Harvard situation and University of Pennsylvania, but it is pervasive.
Absolutely. So there has been a sustained attempt over decades to, number one, erase history, and secondarily, now to erase the Jews in Israel and the Jews worldwide. It's important to put on the table what Hamas, its overall objective is. Its overall objective is not simply the removal of the Jews from Palestine or the removal of the Jews from the Middle East, but to remove all Jews from the world. And then, after attacking and removing the Jews, to remove the Christians. So it's very, very important for our listeners to be engaged with the actual history of vitriol and attacks on the nation state of Israel and the Jewish people.
And you said the university administrations are not having any backbone here.
Absolutely.
For the most part.
In part because they have become impotent. They have basically accepted the critical race view of the world. They have become Marxists. And basically, they have divided the world into two categories, the oppressor versus the victim. And they have denominated the nation state of Israel as an oppressor, which makes no sense. Israel is a nation of about 7 million people, surrounded by hundreds of millions of Islamic individuals and Arab states, and yet Israel is seen as the oppressor. But guess what? None of those Muslim states are willing to take the Palestinians into their own country.
No.
Think about that for a moment.
Folks, we want to educate you, and that's why we put together this incredible campaign, Defending Israel. Around the world, as we just told you, Jewish people are living in fear. It's happening on the college campuses, and this is all really coming to a head since the Hamas attack. Should have been the other way around. The sympathy should have been with Israel, but it's not. There's evil in the world, you bet. It's for real. There is a false anti-Semitic narrative that is spreading like wildfire, and we've got to do everything we can to stop it. We're doing it in the courts, but we're also doing it in the media. We all need to spread the truth. We have over 19,000 ACLJ champions. I want every one of you to report for duty. Here's how you report for duty. Share the link on all of your social media platforms. That is aclj.org/defendIsrael. That will have the video on it. It has the written material on it. We put together a factual multimedia primer on the true history of the Jewish homeland. And this is a Jewish state we're talking about.
And we need to tell the story of Hamas and its decades-long plan to destroy Israel, which is in their charter. So we want you to share this with your friends. It's ACLJ.org/defendIsrael and arm yourself with these facts and get your neighbors, your colleagues, your churches all involved. Spread the truth. Also, know that in our fight for Israel, we are right now meeting, our teams are meeting in Madrid, Spain, dealing with government officials there to keep the hostages front and center. We've just delivered our brief to 50 nations at the International Court of Justice. We must defend Israel in court, in media, and around the globe. So we want to encourage you to do that. You can join the fight to defend Israel by becoming an ACLJ champion at ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. That's ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. In the next segment of the broadcast, I'm going to take you to the north of Israel. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. As you know, we've been working diligently on the situation with Israel. Our colleague Kalev Myers and our team from the European Center for Law and Justice have been in Great Britain. They are now on their way to Madrid, but we're being joined right now from Jerusalem with our good friend, senior reporter, bureau chief for CBN News in Jerusalem, Chris Mitchell. And Chris, thanks for being with us. And I know there's a lot going on. We got a lot to get to, but I first want to get your sense of kind of where the heartbeat of the population. I mean, we know on the hostages side, because we represent a lot of the families, but what's the sense right now, 109, 110 days into this conflict?
Well, Jay, it's affected each and every person here, almost indirectly, but also directly. I've talked to people where they say, you know, last week there were two of the soldiers. I knew them personally. There's not a person here from the north to the south, Jay and Jordan, and that hasn't been directly affected by this either. Maybe there's 200,000 Israelis right now that are refugees in their own country, about 100,000 in the north and the same amount down in the south. People know reservists is about 300,000 reservists that affects individual families and people that know people that were brutally raped or murdered on October 7th or hostages. I mean, this ripple effect throughout Israel is just dramatic, Jay. I've never seen anything quite like it. It's the worst pogrom since the Holocaust, and it's affected all of Israel.
There's the 60-day pause that was put forward by the Israeli War Cabinet. Hamas, I think, has now officially rejected it. What's been the reaction to that?
Well, I think some people have mixed feelings about that. First of all, I don't think some in the IDF want to lay down their arms as some right-wing politicians that feel the same way. They want the momentum to continue. Certainly, everybody wants the hostages released, but they want to be able to do the two goals that have been Israel's since the very beginning here is to eliminate Hamas and get all the hostages back. We'll see what happens. But right now, it looks like there's not going to be a deal anytime soon. But that could change anytime as well.
You visited some of the kibbutzim and the site of the Nova Music Festival. What describe to our audience what you're now seeing even 3 months later.
Well, you can still see all the damage and the devastation, Jay. This was Kfar Aza is a kibbutz right on the border of Gaza, about a mile away. And you could see actually where they came through on October 7th, about 6:30 in the morning. It's not only the devastation, but the stories you hear, Jay, of murder, sexual assault, just sort of horrific and barbaric stories of what happened to those people. We were briefed by the IDF during our visit down there, and it really brings it home exactly what happened there and why Israel is right now in the Gaza Strip. And also one other point, Jay, to be an eyewitness of that, to see it for yourself, it combats what's going on right now, not only online, but in social media in so many ways, denying October 7th. They're saying it's sort of like the Holocaust denial in real time and whether it goes on. That's why what you're doing with Defend Israel, giving people the facts and the information to defend Israel at this time, because it's getting solved by a misinformation and a media war online and other places.
Chris, you've been covering that region of the world for many, many decades. We've been friends for many, many decades. There's a lot of concern up north as well with Hezbollah, because the lethality capability of Hezbollah is much more significant than Hamas. What's your sense there?
The sense that I have, Jay, right now is there's really no other way except to have some sort of a confrontation, a war with Hezbollah. Right now, there's been a low-scale war going on for a number of weeks since October 7th. But there's, as I said, about 100,000 Israelis that are literally refugees in their own country. Many of them may not go back. Many of them don't want to go back right now when you have what they call a monster on their northern border. As you said, Hezbollah is about 10, maybe 15 times the strength of Hamas. They have precision-guided rockets that could probably hit almost anywhere in Israel, and about maybe an arsenal of 150,000. So it, for people that I've talked to up north, don't see any way out from a war with Hezbollah to resolve what's been lurking on their border for now about 18 years.
One of the things that has been in the news a lot, both in the Israeli press and domestically here in the United States, but also in Europe, is the amount of devastation in Gaza. And, of course, it's horrible, and everybody feels for that. And then the Israelis, IDF, said, the Israel Defense Forces spokesperson said, we think we've eliminated about 20-25% of the Hamas terrorists. But you see the amount of devastation, and you see the number of 20-25, and realize that 75% of them still exist. This is where I think they're getting hurt in the world stage right now, in the imaging that's coming out.
It's very hard. I mean, when you look at the images coming out of the Gaza Strip, it's hard to, when you see the devastation and you see the number of people that have died tragically, it's hard to battle that and in the world court of opinion. But I would say one thing, we talked to the Israel spokesman, Elon Levy, earlier this morning, and he was talking about the percentage of the ratio of combatants to civilians. It's about 1.5 to 1. That's about the lowest it has in any conflict in the last few decades, including Afghanistan and Iraq. So you have to put that in context.
Yep.
But it's a very hard sell sometimes for Israel to do this. But you also have to remember what Israel is doing at the risk of their own soldiers to put civilians out of harm's way. They send leaflets. Yep. They make phone calls. They send texts, millions of them, just to make sure that they get civilians out of harm's way. On the other hand, Hamas does everything they can to put their own people in harm's way for the propaganda value.
Last thing, Biden administration still trying to work towards a two-state solution. That seems to me to be a futile effort. What's your sense?
I think it's dead on arrival right now, Jay. And the reason for this is they want the Palestinian Authority to be that government, that two-state solution in Gaza. They have yet to condemn October 7th. In fact, they want to join forces with Hamas. So I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's any appetite for a two-state solution here in Israel. And it really is boggling sometimes. If you listen to what the Palestinian Authority is saying in Arabic and you try to make that a two-state solution, you wonder what the State Department is really trying to do here.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Chris Mitchell from Jerusalem, CBN News, our good friend. Thanks, Chris, for your insight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
And that really ties into everything we're doing right now. And a new site we just launched, aclj.org/defendisrael. You can see an amazing 6-7 minute video that really gives you a better understanding of the entire history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and really the true rightful original owners of that land and what that looks like. I think it's very informative, very interesting, and also will be very shareable for you to send to your friends who maybe have questions about this. Right now, all of it is available on aclj.org/defendisrael. You can arm yourself with the truth, with the facts, and again, the most important thing, because we have to be there. You have to share this. You have to share it with your friends. You have to share it with your colleagues. You have to share it with your church groups, with people who need to know. If anyone comes back at you, you have the resources now, whether it's through text, through video, or this landing page. You go to aclj.org/defendisrael. Today, we're meeting with world leaders. We're meeting with them yesterday. You can be a part of this as well by becoming an ACLJ champion. All you got to do is go to aclj.org/defendisrael. Let me know in the comments on Rumble and on YouTube. if you are doing that right now. I really would appreciate it. Let me know in the comments. Again, ACLJ.org/defendIsrael.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. You know, we earlier in the week, we were dealing with the political stuff because you had to deal with it. It was a big primary in New Hampshire. But we then started focusing on our work in defense of Israel because we've really upped it a lot in the last, really since October 7th, we've had to. And I want to give you a brief overview of what happened. So after the attack, we were contacted by Kalev Myers, a well-known lawyer with a very well-known firm, Yehuda Rivet, one of the most prestigious law firms in the state of Israel. And they're politically connected, very good lawyers. We've worked with them for years. He said, we need help. We got to get these hostages back. We need to do everything we can. We need help in the United States. We need help in Europe. And we're uniquely positioned, more uniquely positioned than anybody else, I think, in the world. God has positioned us very uniquely. Not that other people aren't doing great work. They are. And and by the way, when I say we were uniquely positioned, I'm talking about having the relationship with Kalev. I will tell you that in England, for instance, where we had an unbelievable series of meetings with our European Center staff and Kalev's team from Israel and the Prime Minister of Israel. You're going to hear that video in the next segment of the broadcast. Let me tell you something. It's not just the ACLJ, ECLJ, but it's also the relationships we built for 40 years for such a time as this. Because this is the greatest attack on the Jewish state that we've ever seen. And we've now undertaken a huge educational enterprise, Logan.
That's right. You can go right now to ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. Do that today. Take a look at it. Look at the great content we're providing you, whether that's the written content or the video content. You can also find out how you can get engaged and become an ACLJ champion.
The other thing you need to understand is that we take this personally, and you have to. And we're representing these families. And I'm going to let Cece talk about this for a moment because, folks, it's very emotional when you're dealing with the moms and the dads and the brothers and the sisters. And some of our clients, four of them got out. Several of them are dead. One of them was killed after they escaped by mistake, by friendly fire. You remember that back in December. It happens. It's horrible. So the emotional toll on this is real. But we are doing everything we can to help these families.
Yeah. The hostage families, the one thing that we see over and over again when we have these situations is, you know, people that are trapped, whether it be in jail or here now, trapped by Hamas. They don't want us to forget. That's the biggest concern, is please don't let anybody forget about me. And so we are doing that, and we are doing a great job. We had, like you said, we have gone to DC and had meetings there. We've gone to Europe and we've had meetings there. We're
in Spain right now.
Yes, in Spain. And so we are keeping them at the forefront, which is what is needed. And like you said, the Prime Minister in the UK, he made a great statement.
He sure did. Harry, you know, the anti-Semitism is at the highest I've ever seen in our lifetime. Other than, you know, the Nazi era, this has been the most.
Absolutely. So the ACLJ has engaged in a strong and vigorous campaign in defense of the nation state of Israel after Hamas broke the ceasefire and launched a series of horrific and barbaric attacks. Simultaneously, however, pro-Hamas forces located on campuses throughout the United States and throughout the world, they have launched a lawfare campaign and a public relations campaign claiming that Israel has been engaged in genocide since 1948. And many of these forces essentially are anti-Semitic from the get-go, and they are tied, at least ideologically, to what went on during World War II under Adolf Hitler.
You're right. Let me encourage you to do something. We have a website, aclj.org/defendIsrael, folks. This has got the video. This has got written materials so you understand why the Jewish state has the right to exist and the myth of a Palestinian state. So go to aclj.org/defendIsrael. And Logan, we want people to copy the link and share it everywhere they can.
That's right. Send it to all of your friends. Share it. Post it. Put it in Facebook groups. However you get the word out, we really appreciate it. It's up to you to help spread this word. ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back. We said we're going to return our focus to Israel, and that's because our European Center for Law and Justice colleagues and our colleague Caleb Myers from Israel have been in England and are en route right now to Spain with hostage families, raising the issue of the hostages to keep it front and center. And they had very impressive meetings yesterday, Cece, with including the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Absolutely. In the UK, they met with the Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister, the Security Secretary, and members from both Houses of Parliament, and had tremendous media coverage on all of those meetings. Very successful.
Yeah, it tells you that if you could keep the issue out there, that's going to help keep these hostages alive. We've known so much from our hostage work that keeping them in the forefront is how you keep them alive. We've done that on individual cases. We're doing that on cases where it's a mass number. Keeping it at the forefront.
Keeping it at the forefront, absolutely. That is the concern of everyone that we've had, even our, like you said, our clients. Their biggest concern is, don't let people forget me. And so we can't let people forget that there are still hostages being held by Hamas, and they're still there.
There's also a lot of myths about the whole Palestinian Authority and Palestinian state. I'm going to play for you a video we've just put together right now that, and you'll hear, those on radio, you better listen to it, that really lays out the real case and the real history of the Jewish state of Israel.
The myth of Palestine is a dangerous and false narrative being perpetuated by those who seek to harm the Jewish people. This narrative intentionally overlooks the thousands of years of history and the rightful ownership of the land by the Jewish people. It ignores the repeated attempts by Israel to make peace and the ongoing attacks and aggression from terrorist organizations like Hamas. We must not be deceived by this attempt to erase the Jewish people from their homeland. Following is the true history of Israel and the so-called Palestine. We begin with Israel beginning in 1800 BC. Abraham heard the call of God and followed it to the land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, the Promised Land. Shortly after, the Egyptians enslaved nearly all of the Israelites, and it wasn't until 500 years later that their descendants were able to return to the Promised Land. From then on, this region had a long history of conquest and power struggles, with Jerusalem at the center. From the time of King David's rule in 1004 BC to the Roman conquest in 63 BC, the city endured numerous shifts in power and the destruction and rebuilding of temples. 70 years later, the Romans drove nearly all Jews out of Israel, forcing them to scatter across the world. It wasn't until circa AD 136 the name Palestine first appeared after the Romans named part of Judea, Syria, Palestina to erase the Jewish presence in the land. Throughout the ensuing centuries, the region of Jerusalem continued to be subject to numerous conquests. In AD 638, Arab Muslims took control. Centuries later, Christian crusaders claimed the city, only to be defeated by Saladin, the Muslim Sultan of Egypt and Syria in AD 1187. The region then fell under the rule of the Ottoman Empire, Turks, in AD 1517, until 400 years later, when during the Great War in 1917, the British Empire conquered the region. The British made a public pledge, the Balfour Declaration, which aimed to establish a national home for the Jewish people in the area still known by the Roman name Palestine. Then in 1922, 4 years after the war ended, the League of Nations created the mandate for Palestine to reconstitute a national home for the Jewish people. The region was redrawn into what is now modern-day Israel, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. Only 22% was left to create the Jewish state. Then, just over a decade later, from 1933 to 1945, the Nazi Party took power in Germany and massacred almost two-thirds of Europe's Jewish population. 6 million Jews. After World War II in 1947, the United Nations adopted the Partition Resolution, a two-state solution to create another Arab state and a Jewish state in the remaining Mandate territory reserved for the Jews. In order to have peace with their Arab neighbors, the Jews accepted, but the Arabs rejected it and invaded Israel, which began the Arab-Israeli War of 1948. No state of Palestine was created. The state of Israel was. Over the following decades, the Middle East was marked by ongoing conflicts between Israel and its Arab neighbors. In 1964, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, also known as the PLO, was founded, whose ultimate goal was the destruction of Israel. In 1967, the Six-Day War was waged by surrounding Arab countries. That's when the West Bank and the Gaza Strip became a part of Israel. Then the 1973 attack on Yom Kippur began. In 1987, the terrorist organization Hamas was founded by members of the Muslim Brotherhood. That same year, Hamas began waging jihad, holy war, during the First Intifada against Israel in order to wipe out all Jews. Between 1993 and 1995, Israel and the PLO made agreements for a peaceful resolution to the Arab-Israeli conflict. These agreements granted self-governance to the Arab populations of the Gaza Strip and West Bank in exchange for peace with Israel. Instead of peace, militants from the Gaza Strip and the West Bank continued their attacks against Israel. From 2000 to 2005, the Palestinians began a wave of terrorist attacks called the Second Intifada. Remember what this means: the eradication of Jews. So in 2005, yet another attempt to achieve peace was made, and Israel left Gaza, even though Gaza is a rightful part of Israel. In 2012, the UN General Assembly agreed to change the PLO's membership status at the UN from an observer organization to that of a non-member state with observer status. Observers generally have a limited ability to participate in the IGO, lacking the ability to vote or propose resolutions. Then, on October 7, 2023, the world was shaken by the horrific actions of Hamas as they launched a vicious attack on Israel. The death toll rose to over 1,300 innocent lives, including men, women, children, the elderly, and even infants. The atrocities committed by the attackers were unspeakable. Women were raped, dead bodies were desecrated, and over 240 people were taken hostage. What history clearly illustrates is that Israel did not steal any land from the Palestinians. In fact, there has never been a state of Palestine. The Romans gave the name to the area that includes modern-day Israel, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. This land was stolen from the Jewish people, just as it had been for millennia before. Learn more at aclj.org/defendisrael.
Folks, this powerful piece, those of you that are on radio, you heard it. I want you to see it. For those of you that were able to see it, this is a very powerful educational piece that in literally 7 minutes, we covered the history of Israel and explains it in accurate, factual information. So we know what's going on right now around the world. The anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel zealots are at the all-time fever pitch. I mean, I've never seen it in my lifetime the way it is right now. And it's happening, by the way, not just in the United States. This is all over the world. It's in our college campuses. It's in anywhere you go. This is a problem now. So our job here is to defend Israel, defend Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state, and to equip you with the information you need to help us do it. Many of you are ACLJ champions. Hey, champions, this is a call to duty here. We want you to share this link. We need to spread the truth of Israel's defense. So we want to defend Israel. You go to aclj.org/defendisrael. We put together this factual video. It's a part of a multimedia primer on the true history of the Jewish homeland. We tell the story of Hamas as you just heard it, and it's decades long. This has been going on for 40 years. They've been trying. It's been going on since the beginning of time, but it's been going on in our lifetime, really since the 1948, the War of Independence. So here's what we need you to do. Go to ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. That's ACLJ.org/defendIsrael, and arm yourself with these facts and share this link on all of your social media platforms. Share it with your friends, family, church members, neighbors, colleagues. Very important. We want you to spread the truth. And this goes for everybody that's watching, but especially our ACLJ champions. Hey, folks, we told you, you're an ACLJ champion. You got to report for duty. Here's reporting for duty. Share it with your friends. Share this link with your friends. You can join the fight to defend Israel by becoming an ACLJ champion if you're already not one, by making a monthly recurring donation at ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. It's ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. Look, we're already have notified 50 countries in this whole International Court of Justice case. There's going to be a lot more of that ahead. ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. Back with more in a moment. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I'm going to take you to the north of Israel. We did a movie called The Export because, by the way, Hezbollah, Hamas, all funded by one group. It's called Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Several years back, I had the chance to go with Israeli experts to the north. That's where Hezbollah is. And Hezbollah's lethality is 10 or 20 times that of Hamas, maybe more. So I am taking you to Israel right now. And if you want to get information about this and see this whole film, go to acljfilms.com. That's acljfilms.com. Let's go to the north of Israel.
In Iran today, thousands of demonstrators in various locations kept up their public pressure on the Shah.
Khomeini is scheduled to return to Iran Friday after 15 years in exile. Today, the 78-year-old religious leader appeared to be in an uncompromising mood.
One of the chants today was bring back Khomeini, this man, presently living in Paris.
It was over 30 years ago that the revolution took place in Iran, led by a cleric named the Ayatollah Khomeini, who had actually been exiled out of Iran under the Shah of Iran's previous regime. Now, the Shah was put in place, and while there were a number of abuses under his regime, there was stability in the region, and radical Islamists did not have a foothold of control of a government. That changed in 1979. When the Ayatollah Khomeini came in and the Shah of Iran was removed from leadership, a major change and shift took place in the region. The region became radical, and it became radical in the context of Islam. And that has shaped not only Iran, but the Middle East, and even in the United States, even today. Now, what this movie is going to do is take a look at radical Islam's conquest, its mentality for control, and the various ways that it is engaging in infiltrating the West. Now, what we've seen so far, you've heard about jihad, lawfare, nuclear programs, and terrorism. But let's break it down. What is jihad? Jihad's the holy war. How do you engage in the holy war? You use the legal system as part of it. Sure, you use airplanes and turn them into bombs and run them into buildings. You use suicide bombers. You try to take over governments. But you also use the legal system, both domestic legal systems in the United States, but international legal systems as well, including the United Nations. And then, of course, there's nuclear programs. The danger of a nuclear threat is significant. It becomes part of the terrorist ploy, but is a ploy with tremendous consequences. The situation in Iran is not that much different than 32 years later as we look at the situation in Egypt. A lot of the issues that have developed over the last several months have revolved around the fact that what role would the Muslim Brotherhood have in a government in Egypt? And the short answer to that is any role for the Muslim Brotherhood starts looking an awful lot like Ayatollah Khomeini revisited. One of the most dangerous areas of the region in the Middle East is the border between Israel and Lebanon. Lebanon, of course, is now controlled by Hezbollah. That means you've got a radical Islamist government controlling actual government facilities, including the military. Two Israeli soldiers were recently killed in the very area where we are now at. In putting this documentary together, we wanted to talk to those that are not only talking about the conflict, that are doing strategy about the conflict, but actually the soldiers who are engaged in the conflict.
So we've had this situation. We talked about this with the lack of uniforms. It's a different kind of warfare. They're hiding out in villages.
Yes.
How do you go about defending your country when they're engaged in this kind
of activity? Well, like I said before, it's very hard. We try to learn on a daily basis what kind of movement is a citizen movement, what kind of movement doesn't serve any cause except Hezbollah tasks. And we know from all certain places what houses they own, what houses they would like to take over in a battle day.
Is it house to house?
Yes, yes. They can. They live
among in a village.
Among the citizens. Among the citizens, you can see a Hezbollah house, regular people house, and we had something in battle days before. The citizens just leave the villages, and it becomes a little war zone inside the village.
So Renan, relative calm looks like. But right over there and right over there are two villages controlled by Hezbollah, and we've got coming in our background right now jeeps from the Israeli Defense Force. This is the blue line. How significant of a zone is this? How dangerous of a zone
is
this?
You know, I must say that my experience for the past 30 years, you know, I've been to this movie before.
Yeah.
Maybe the difference is now it's a 3D movie with so many other forces involved. But this is a security border in Israel. There's peace now. It's a fragile peace. It's a deceptive peace.
Why do you say we talked about that before. Why deceptive peace?
It's deceptive because at any moment, you know, these 40,000 rockets and missiles on the border with Lebanon could, you know, be sprung and fired against Israel. We have a village here, Khule, okay, a Shiite village on the border, out of several hundred Shiite villages, right there. And this village, now it's quiet. Now there is clearly an understanding and orders from Hezbollah not to start anything right now because it doesn't suit neither Hezbollah nor Iran. But on every September 11th, they fire rockets into Israel. Why? To commemorate 9/11. Every September 11th, which in a sense shows you what has changed from the first Lebanese war to the second Lebanese war, and which requires us to be on guard 24/7.
All right, so talking about 24/7, you got jeeps coming up right now. What's the function? What are they doing? Your military?
Well, they're conducting patrols along this border to prevent any effort by the terrorists at any given moment to break through the fence, to kidnap soldiers like we had in the past, or to penetrate into one of the settlements here, which are now enjoying relative peace.
Yeah.
But that relative peace is dependent on these young boys who patrol this border 24/7.
So here's the other question. So it's a battle with Hezbollah, but is it really a battle with Iran?
No doubt. I would say that the confrontation with Iran starts here. We are in one of those hot spots. It looks very fragile, very passive, placid, and very quiet. But at any moment, if Hezbollah, the leaders of the Revolutionary Guard in Tehran, or their proxies in Damascus decide that they want to start a war, it serves Iran, they'll start firing.
So is it fair to say that Iran can call the terms and the timing of a conflict?
No doubt that Iran calls the shots, not only here. It calls the shots in other parts of the Middle East where it can use its proxies and its control and the influence over terrorist organization to steer havoc, to create a shooting war. It's true in Iraq, where Iran is involved. It's true in other parts of the Middle East. And no doubt, here is the largest concentration of, I would say, frontline Iranian troops. Hezbollah has 40,000 missiles deployed in the villages. Villages like this. And for us, or for these people here, these young people, it becomes very difficult to discern who is a friend, who is a foe. They are entrenched inside civilian neighborhoods, inside the villages, underneath the houses. They have stockpiles of weapons ready just for the order to go. And therefore, it requires us to really be very vigilant and maintain readiness on a 24-hour, 7 days a week. And that's what these young boys are doing here.
You have said time and again, Israel must be wiped off the map. Please explain why.
I think that the Israeli government is a fabricated government.
Share the link on all of your social media platforms. That is ACLJ.org/defendIsrael. That will have the video on it. It has the written material on it. We put together a factual multimedia primer on the true history of the Jewish homeland. And this is a Jewish state we're talking about. And we need to tell the story of Hamas and its decades-long plan to destroy Israel, which is in their charter. It's ACLJ.org/defendIsrael and arm yourself with these facts and get your neighbors, your colleagues, your churches all involved. Spread the truth.